This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Democrats held an 8-minute, 46-second moment of silence yesterday as part of the unveiling of their Justice and Policing Act, new legislation that would reform police procedure and accountability. Here's a bit of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi at the event.
We are here to observe that pain. We are here to respect the actions of the American people to speak out against that, specifically manifested in police brutality. We are here to honor George Floyd.
On the line with us now is Massachusetts Congressman Seth Moulton, one of the co-sponsors of the Justice and Policing Act. Congressman Moulton, welcome back to Radio Boston.
It's great to be here, Tiziana. Thanks for having me.
So let's start there, Congressman, with the Justice and Policing Act. What are some of the specific reforms it looks to enact?
So it mandates the use of dashboard cameras and body cameras, something that I have called for a long time. It's something that good cops should welcome because it prevents them from false accusations and certainly protects us all. It establishes a national police misconduct registry to prevent problematic officers who were fired or leave an agency from moving on to another. We saw that happen right here with a police officer at the VA, and brought this to the attention of Congress and to the VA leadership. It reforms qualified immunity, which, as we've learned, is this legal protection that that police have that really just sets the bar in the wrong place. And it means that Americans are barred from recovering damage just when police violate their constitutional rights, and that obviously needs to change. It requires the creation of a law enforcement accreditation standard, and it bans chokeholds as something that a tactic that police shouldn't use. So there are a lot of things in this bill that just try to rebalance the relationship that police have with their communities.
So, Congressman, there's a lot there. Nevertheless, some on the left are calling for even bigger changes. We'll be looking later in this hour at calls to defund police. That's become a staple at a lot of ongoing protests, demonstrations. Are you worried that this legislation doesn't go far enough to get support from the more progressive wing of the Democratic Party?
Well, I think it's important that we not get too mired in the politics of this and just try to address the root cause of the problem, right? And we need solutions. People are dying on our streets, especially black men, and that has to change. I think, to me, the only thing that's missing from this legislation is this idea that it's not just about banning particular tactics or whatnot. I mean, we shouldn't have chokeholds, but frankly, there are a lot of ways to kill people. Perhaps if this criminal Minneapolis officer hadn't used a chokehold, he would have used something else to kill George Floyd. So what I've really talked about is how we need to not abolish the police. They serve a critical role in keeping us safe and keeping dangerous criminals off the street. But we should abolish the culture within policing that leads to the deaths of unarmed black men. We should abolish the culture within our police forces that leads to a lack of accountability in policing. Part of these reforms might mean reprioritizing the way we spend our tax dollars in this country. But fundamentally, we need to change the whole relationship police have with their community to ensure that they truly embody servant leadership, protecting and serving us all with integrity. Because if they uphold basic American constitutional principles, such as that we are all created equal, then they will behave justly regardless of what particular tactics or training that they have. That's something
I know.
I'm just going to stop you there for a second.
And I know you want to focus on real change. You don't want to focus on the politics, but it is a bill. And after it would come through the House, it would have to go through the U.S. Senate. How would one get a bill like this passed in this Senate? What would it take to make it a bipartisan effort and get it passed?
Well, it's really hard. But the outcry across our country for ending racism is not just a partisan cry. Frankly, Democrats and Republicans alike are subject to police brutality and subject to racism. And I think that increasingly people are recognizing that. Now, let's be honest. Do I have a lot of confidence in Mitch McConnell's leadership in the Senate? Absolutely not. I mean, he's failed to even bring up for a vote less controversial pieces of legislation than this. So the best thing that we can do to make sure this bill is passed is get rid of Mitch McConnell and his Republican majority in the Senate. I'm working very hard on that, by the way, with my Serve America PAC supporting great leaders who are running to unseat Republicans who refuse to take on tough issues like this in the Senate. But I do think that it's important to recognize that this is a national movement. This is not just a Democratic movement, even though the Democratic Party right now in politics and in Congress is clearly leading the way.
I want to ask you about the police itself. We'll move off the Justice and Policing Act now. Do you think that militarization of police departments has become an issue in the United States? And if you do, what do we do about that?
Tiziana, absolutely. I mean, I see cops who are wearing more military gear to patrol the streets of American cities than we often wore to patrol the streets of Iraq in a war. I mean, it's really just gotten out of hand. Again, I think it's important to recognize that simply taking this military gear away from the police is not going to fundamentally solve the problem, because even with the basic gear that they have, they can still do bad things. But one of the things I saw on the streets of Iraq, where we often had police-type duties in the Marines, is that there was a real difference between units that took an attitude of, we're here to promote peace and stability, and we are all created equal. Iraqis are not evil, versus people who were there who just felt, you know, we're here to kill terrorists. And the point is that we all received the same training. We all had the same tactics at our disposal, but it came down to the culture with which we approached our job and remembering that we were there to uphold American constitutional values and principles and set a good example for the rest of the world. And that's the attitude that needs to pervade our police departments. And let's be honest, that's not the case. I mean, even, you know, just take the killings out of it. I mean, there are plenty of cops that we all know who are just jerks. And
let's stay with that for a second, Congressman. And I'm sorry to be interrupting you. We have limited time, and there are a few things I want to make sure I talk to you about. The former Boston Police Department Commissioner Ed Davis recently wrote an op-ed for The Globe calling out unions, police unions, for being too protective of officers who cross the line. That is a cultural issue, and it can be a tough one for Democrats who historically have been pro-union. What is your reaction to the claim that police unions have too much power, are causing some of this culture, and how does one address that?
It is absolutely clear that we need more accountability in policing. And look, I support unions. I support the union movement. I understand that the role that they have and collective bargaining is important. But if they prevent accountability of police when people are literally dying on American streets, then that's a problem and that has to change. So it doesn't mean that police unions need to go away, but it does mean that they need to make sure that they're there to uphold our values and our principles and not to undermine them.
Congressman, last question for you. Ferguson was in 2014. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Rodney King was the early 90s. It's been a long road. Why move for this Justice and Policing Act now? And what will it take to make real change this time?
Because I hope that that George Floyd is the last time. And clearly, we have not done enough in the past. And you've cited just the relatively recent history of police brutality. But let's not forget, this goes way back in time before we had TV cameras or cell phone cameras to actually record this and share it with the world. So there is a long history in this country of racism. And sadly, there's a long history of police brutality. And we've got to make it stop. It's time for change. It's no longer time for delay or debate. We've got to change this. That's why this legislation that we have put forward in the House is so important, but it's also why this legislation is just a first step.
Massachusetts Congressman Seth Moulton, sorry for the cough there, and thanks so much for being with us today. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Hope you feel better.